All right, so we're continuing on the Sermon on the Mount. We're doing the Beatitudes. We have discussed the poor in spirit, those who mourn, and the weak. And now we're looking at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, kind of as an introduction, we realize that the problem with this world is sin. You know, we don't live in a sick society, we live in a sinful society. And the solution to all of our problems is righteousness, living a righteous life. And so this beatitude emphasizes how righteous living can improve our lives and everybody's life. Proverbs 14:34 reminds us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So in this beatitude, we're going to look at what righteousness really means and what righteousness can bring to us. So the first thing we notice, he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All right? Of course, in the first century, if you lived in Palestine, people knew a lot about hungering and thirsting, because finding water was not as easy for them as it is for us. So many people in the first century lived, you might say, on the edge of starvation, on the edge of not having any water. So, you know, they understood hungering and thirsting a lot more than we do. First of all, there is a strong desire. When you hunger and thirst, that means there's a strong, strong desire for whatever it is you're hungering and thirsting for. And so in this case, he says we're to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay? So this is the idea of, you know, there has to be great effort. There is zeal. There's diligence. You know, it's not just a normal desire for it. This is hungering and thirsting. Something that you keenly want, and this is something that you do daily. I mean, this is something you want every day. Not once a week on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, but every single day. You know, Jesus reminds us in some of his conversations that you are what you eat. So let's go to John, a couple of places in John's account of the gospel. And first of all, if someone would read John 4 and verse 14. John 4, 14.
But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.
All right. A fountain of water. A fountain of water. And of course it says, whoever drinks of this water that I will give him. So this is a spiritual drink. And then in chapter 6, he says something very similar in John chapter 6. Let me make sure I've got the right verse. Verse 35. If someone would read that one. John 6, 35.
And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Okay, so Jesus makes it really clear there that he is the source of life. So when we're talking about hungering and thirsting, we're talking about hungering and thirsting for him. And we have this idea that we're supposed to want him and what he has so badly that we can't live without him. And that's what he wants us to understand. We can't live without him. So hungering and thirsting, they're appetites. And they, you know, that returns frequently, over and over and over. You know, you're hungry and you're thirsty every day. And so you can't just drink or eat once a month or you would die. So Jesus says, this is something you need to continually do. You need to continually hunger and thirst for righteousness. You need a new supply of food. You need a new supply of water. This is something that's constant. So if your soul wants to thrive, then it needs to have these constant meals of righteousness. Again, Jesus is talking about an intense longing. And again, it's not just something you experience once a week. You know, once a week for an hour is not going to feed you where you're going to be able to live. So this is, as one person called it, a passionate concern for what's right. This is being zealous. This is what we've got to do more than anything else. Because, you know, the road to heaven is a difficult one. Would someone read Matthew 7, 13 and 14? This is toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 13 and 14.
Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
See, that road, if we're going to travel it, we're going to have to feed on Christ and his righteousness. So we have to have this, you know, you're not going to make it on that narrow, difficult way unless we have a passion for it. In other words, we're not going to just accidentally or easily make it through on that path. You know, the Bible says on the day of judgment, only a few will be saved. That's what Jesus just said. There are only a few who find it. There's only a few who really strive to get to heaven. And so that's where we have to have the passionate desire, the zeal, the intense longing. We need to have all of that. The Bible is filled with people who had a hunger and thirst for the wrong things. The rich fool, you know, he said, my barns are full. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he was hungering and thirsting for. Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, says he hungered and thirsted for this world. This world, the present world. And that's probably what most people go after. So, we are given the opportunity to freely seek righteousness. Would someone, before we go any further, read Luke 8, verse 14. Luke 8 and verse 14.
And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection.
See, that's what they were hungering and thirsting for, was the things of this world, the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world. That's what they wanted. So, now let's turn to what righteousness is. What righteousness actually is. Now, you know, the Pharisees had their own form of righteousness, and it was all outward. In other words, it was something they put on display. You know, they would wear the little boxes on their forehead with verses in them, and they would wear certain clothing, and they would stand on the corners and make their long prayers. So their righteousness was something that was just on display. That's all they did. And a lot of people, a lot of the Jewish people, especially Pharisees, they just kept the rules because they were expected to keep the rules, not really because they necessarily believed in them, but that's what they did. They just did those things, and they didn't put any real hope or desire into them. They didn't really believe in them. So the word that's translated here in verse 6 as righteousness, here are some of the definitions. What is right? Justice, the act of doing what is in agreement with God's standards, the state of being in proper relationship with God. One person said it was ethical rightness. Ethical rightness. Would someone go all the way back to the Old Testament and read Ezekiel 33, verse 13? Ezekiel 33, verse 13. Yeah, Ezekiel 33 and verse 13.
When I shall
see the righteousness will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed he will die.
Okay. See, the person who trusts in his own righteousness, that person will die in his own righteousness. Now, along with that, let's go to the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
Okay, a lot of things in there, but notice a couple. Righteousness is about doing. It's not just a feeling or an emotion or something. It's something you do. And that righteousness is following Christ. In other words, it's doing what he did. His life. So this is something that is a positive thing. This is something that you do. That is a good thing. It's a right thing. It's doing what God wants you to do. So it's, again, it's a positive thing. Now it comes about, you can only be righteous if you have followed God and you have been justified. In other words, you have to have forgiveness of sins to be considered righteous. So, would someone read Romans 1 now, verses 16 and 17?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For it is in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And it is written that the righteous man shall live by faith.
What is revealed in the gospel? The righteousness of God. So, what it means to be righteous in God's sight is revealed in the gospel. So, the righteousness of God here is the righteousness that he imparts to us because we're forgiven. Because we followed his standards, because we've done what he wants us to do, we've obeyed the gospel, he has pronounced us justified. So the gospel then, in those verses, reveals how God forgives sinners and makes sinners righteous. That's what the gospel does. It tells us how God does that. And he does that by when we live in conformity with his will. So he goes on and says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. In other words, they will receive what they've wanted. Like the one that's hungering and thirsting, they will be filled. They'll be satisfied. So this is a very strong word. It's a graphic word in the original language. This phrase, shall be filled, is a really long Greek word in the original language. And it applied to the feeding and fattening of animals in a stall. So this is what happened. You know, in the parable where Jesus fed the multitudes with loaves and fishes, you know, it says the multitudes were filled. Well, it's the same word there. So these people were completely filled. They didn't need any more to eat or drink. And of course, having a good appetite physically is a good sign. Well, spiritually, it's even a better sign. So it's a sign of good health. Now, when we look at our society, there are a lot of people that have no taste for doing what's right. They don't have any taste for God. They don't have any taste for his word. They don't have any taste for the spiritual. I mean, they could come and sit in the best Bible class ever or hear the best sermon ever or whatever, and they could care less. They're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. All right? They don't have any appetite for that at all, which of course is sad but true. They've lost the taste for it. And the one who really hungers and thirsts for righteousness wants to have that right relationship with God. And that person doesn't, you know, need to be begged to study the Bible or to come to worship or to pray. You don't have to beg those people to do it because they have that appetite. They want. That's hungering and thirsting. They want it. And again, you don't have to try and force them because this is something they really, really want. So this person, you know, he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He wants that justification. This is something that the gospel persuades him to do. Again, he doesn't have to be coerced, but when he reads the Bible, when he reads the gospel, that person, you know, has that desire to do what's right, to follow God's standards. That's what he wants to do. And he'll do whatever it takes to obtain that forgiveness, that justification, that righteousness. So this person has a very strong desire. He's passionate for doing what's right. He pursues doing what's right. He wants to honor God. He wants to obey God. He wants to glorify God. He wants to do all of those things. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a minute, and we'll kind of see that desire in a song that we sing. Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Verse And would someone read the first two verses?
As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and before and appear before God?
See, he pants, or he longs for. Just like the deer desires and longs for water, so the psalmist says, my soul longs for God. My soul desperately needs God. That's what I need. It says, I thirst for God. I long for God. My soul pants for God. And then notice the reward for all of this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And that's about where we'll end today. 1 John 2, 28 and 29 says this. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So again, this goes back. If we live a righteous life, then we can have confidence when he comes again. That's the reward. So it's another wonderful beatitude. Lord willing, we will look at blessed are the merciful next Sunday, for they shall obtain mercy.